Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio. Radio.
Rebound by Bosch. Here comes Green for the bottom. Rock City East strikes again.
You can see it coming all the way. LeBron was up ahead of him in the right lane.
Take a look around. Tears from their eyes. Knees on the ground. Money in the sky. Take a look around. Ain't shit nice. Praying for my life. Hope I make it through the night. I take a look around.
He drives it to center field. That ball's deep. Back goes Schaefer. At the wall. Gone! My goodness! An absolute bomb!
Take a look around.
Reggie Bush with a big hole, hurtling it up Bender, and there he goes! And the dagger for the Miami Dolphins.
Take a look.
This is the Southern Sports Wrap, only at Ship to Shore Radio.
The Heat prevail. 101-88. After the first half, I believe the Celtics were up 7 points, and I was a little worried. But the impressive 27-23rd quarter for the Heat, and then even better 28-15 fourth quarter for the Heat. Celtics only 35 points in the second half. The Heat came out big, like I assumed they would eventually. Playing that they've done, and they were so close, and that's why I was a little nervous at halftime. I figured, I know the Heat should win this at home, but the Celtics are this close, and they're up by 7.5. You know, I respect a team like that, but LeBron did his thing. So moving on, LeBron James did get 30, did well with 9 rebounds, with 4 assists, and 4 steals. Shane Battier played a huge role, 17 points, all in the first half, played 42 minutes. He was 4 of 6 from downtown. Haslam, only 4 points with 11 rebounds. Only scored 19, 4 rebounds, 8 assists, and Mario Chalmers with 12 points, 6 assists, excuse me. Bosch played, and nobody else actually played. We got 8 people total. I just didn't like the feel after the first half for the Heat. Third quarter, I just looked at that. They have a horrible third quarter and the playoffs. And so I don't know. They got to change it. They got to contain Durant and Westbrook. It's just got to happen. I know that they're the main reasons why they're in the finals, but the Heat are a great defensive team. They have some great defensive players, and you just got to do a better job. Durant, I understand, but still, you know, you got to put somebody on him at all times and don't let him get open. He hit some open shots today, and I just thought that was ridiculous. He should be the number one focus on defense. He should never be left open. I don't care if somebody else is driving the hole. I'd rather him drive to the hole than leaving Durant to try to contest, because you know what, they know that you're going to do that. They're going to try to kick it out, and then Durant's going to start catching fire. Just keep a guy on him at all times and let the other four try to beat you. I won't even do that. I don't care if that's LeBron James. it could be Shane as well. I mean, I know Shane's got a little, couple inches underneath him, but I know he can make it a little tough for Durant. This is a little tough for the Heat to try to contain, I think. And let me tell you, Pacquiao got robbed. Upset through, you know, a lesser team beats a greater team. I guess fair and square. I mean, what else is there in sports? But in boxing, it goes down to a judge telling the boxers who won. And let me tell you, Pacquiao got robbed. I know it's been talked about nonstop for the past, you know, 4 or 5 days, but it's true. I mean, I don't watch that much boxing, but I do watch it, and I was just stunned. The decision, you know, it wasn't the greatest fight ever by Pacquiao, but you know what, he came out and he won that fight. He won every round. I know everybody's kind of just, everybody that I talked to gave Bradley one round, maybe three. I mean, I'd say maybe three, just to give an idea that, you know what, we'll give you the three rounds, and that's definitely the most you got, and you know, you still lost by seven rounds to everybody. But, you know, the truth is, I think he probably won one round, honestly. ESPN gave him that. ESPN scored a 119 to 109. I honestly think the same thing. Pacquiao, you know, his training and everything else, he doesn't come out to play three rounds. He plays every round as hard as he can. A couple times, he was actually close to a knockout. And I just read recently that in the second round, Bradley twisted his ankle, possible sprain, which is just out. I mean, it's ridiculous. You really think that Bradley won that fight playing 10 rounds on a bum ankle against Pacquiao? That's just unheard of. And it's just ridiculous to me. And they're apparently, there's been so much talk about it. Basically three judges had their own score through 12 rounds. And, you know, most of the time it's pretty even. You know, you look at Mayweather, Cotto, you know, we all knew that Cotto played well, but there's no way that he won more than a few rounds versus Mayweather. And, you know, the scoring reflected that at the end. But in this case, it was pretty much the same outcome. It just the same outcome with the fight. I mean, the Pacquiao definitely won as many rounds against him, if not more, than Mayweather won against Cotto. And the first judge ruled it in favor of Pacquiao, actually, it was 115-113. But then just out of nowhere, it was 115-113, Bradley. And the same repeat, another 115-113 versus for Bradley to give him the welterweight crown. So definitely ridiculous. You know, I am a Pacquiao fan. I love his work ethic. He's totally different from Mayweather as far as personal demeanor. You know, obviously, Mayweather is a showboater, and I can't stand him. But he's a great fighter, and Pacquiao just goes about his business and trains really, really hard. So there's a few things that this is going to do. One, it really will lose a lot of fans. You know what people will say? There are fans out there that, you know, if you take away the factor of watching a game and seeing a winner and then not having that winner, it's like saying, it's like having, and the only reason this makes sense is because, you know, you have the score, but, you know, the whole time, but it's just really no different. I mean, you sit there and have the Lakers versus the, you know, the Warriors, and the Lakers just outplayed them every quarter, and they won by 30 points, and they're not being, you have a scoreboard and that's it. You know, don't anybody saying who won, but say there isn't a scoreboard, you just play as hard as you could, and at the end the judges go, "Oh, I think the Warriors won that round." And what are you gonna do? You just worked your ass off for months for this game, for this fight, won it, and it means nothing because two 70-year-old judges decided to say the other team won or the other player won at least. So it's just so much, it's just frustrating that boxing has one of the most prestigious sports, and just like this, I mean, it could ruin it, the fan base and whatever. So you'll see a lot of people falling out from the sport. I think maybe a Pacquiao Mayweather might have to happen soon just to revive the sport, in my opinion. But you might see at least they're not going to change the scoring, but this is probably going to definitely come about a rematch for Bradley Pacquiao at the very least. Will it be a lot of hype about it? Yeah. Will there be the same amount of people watching? It's just so tough because people don't want to pay, it costs money, and people pay $60, $70, $80 for this fight. And now they got to pay it again to see the same two fighters? For what? Pacquiao, other than just a piece of paper or a video clip saying that Bradley won the fight, that's it. That's all he has, because everybody in the world saw Pacquiao wins. Everybody in the world has blogged about it, talked about it. Pacquiao knows he won. What does he really have to prove? Just moving on, last night, Matt Cain throws a perfect game versus Astros. I was actually at the gym, and there's a bunch of TVs, and the one TV was really far away. It was they were showing this game, and I just remember they were just showing some kind of newscast inside ESPN or whatever, probably baseball event or whatever. So I looked over, and they were playing the game, and I was thinking, all right, this looks like a live-looking. It must be a perfect game or no-hitter opportunities. I walked over, and sure enough, Matt Cain was in the ninth inning, and he pitched great. They're actually talking possibly is the best pitched game ever in MLB history. A bunch of no-hitters have happened, but this was actually perfect. Meaning no errors, no walks, just 27 up, 27 down. He had 14 strikeouts, which ties, I believe it was Sandy Koufax, with 14 Ks. So great, good effort by him. And it's great, too, because, I talked about his big deal early in the season, highest-paid pitcher in MLB history. And, he was a little, for somebody who doesn't really watch sport, I guess there could have been a little controversy. 69-73 record as a career. But, that's just a record. It has more to do than just the pitcher. He really honestly does have one of the worst run supports from anybody. But it just goes to show you that, he is a quality pitcher. He's won a perfect game. You don't just do this in an accident. Although there have been a few people that you probably haven't heard of, but most of the perfect game, the whole perfect game means you have some talent. So obviously Matt Cain goes in. You have no hitter. Perfect game at that. Lee was the second one in their history in the past 35 years. Last one was Jonathan Sanchez in 2009. That was actually a no hitter. So perfect game, obviously, a little step up from that. And that should be my top three plays later on, which I will have a little past the hour. But somebody was overshadowed last night. R.A. Dickey. He had a one-hitter last night, which I really didn't look at too much. After his one-hitter, certainly one hit. I believe it was. I guess he pitched nine innings. I don't know what inning the hit came in, but after his performance, he had gone 32 2/3 innings. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, he had 32-10, two-thirds scoreless innings. Obviously, it spans between two or three games or four games, but that's a Mets record. They're trying to appeal it, see if it's going to be changed. When it's come to big calls, I mean, it's, I talked about it a few times here and there. Andre Galarraga from the Detroit Tigers about 3 years ago, when he had a perfect game on the line, down to one out in the game. I mean, this was literally as deep as you can go. And the final out was a ground ball to Miguel Cabrera, who threw it back to Galarraga for the perfect game. He actually got it in plenty of time, beat the runner by a step or two. And the umpire, Jim Joyce, called him safe. And that one hit takes away a perfect game, takes away a no-hitter, takes away so much from what happened. And obviously, Jim Joyce was in tears afterwards. That's the ultimate. Like, if they didn't overturn that, they're not going to overturn this. But either way, the Mets just got their first no-hitter in their history last week with Johan Santana, so I guess it's not too bad if he doesn't get it. But a great performance by Dickey, for sure. Just moving on, Finals champions are the LA Kings. It was the first in their history, so congrats to them being the 8th-seeded team West and winning the Stanley Cup is definitely a major feat. They had the Devils down 3-0. I mean, they weren't playing around. They didn't even have home field in any series. But every series they won the first two road games, which is incredible. They were 10-0 in the road, 10-0 on the road heading into the Stanley. After the first two games in the Stanley Cup versus the Devils. And obviously winning game three at home. But the Devils weren't going down that fight. No series lasted more than five games for the Kings. And the Devils changed that, winning the game four at L.A. and winning game five in New Jersey. And I thought, honestly, this might be an epic finish. I know they were going back to L.A., but you give the Devils one game. If they would just won that one game, then you have a game seven at home with all the momentum in New Jersey's favor, but the Kings were having none of it, winning 6-1. One of those was an empty netter. I think it was 3-3 or 4-1 with about 2 or 3 minutes left. But the Kings is finishing it off, not taking any chances. And they win their first Stanley Cup in the history of their franchise. And listen up, here it is. And, I'm definitely ready to cheer on my Heat. Game one, I actually made it down to the Keys, a three-hour drive, just to, see my parents, just something different. But, yeah, it was a good game, man. The Heat had it. I really thought they came out with great energy. But Thunder just kept fighting, and the Heat were not hitting shots. I mean, they looked great in the first half, but they really were hitting shots left and right. Battier hit all his points in, the first quarter, I believe, and it was great. I mean, he was wide open. It wasn't like it was insane that he was scoring so many points. I might be able to just not a factor. Chalmers did great. He had a couple threes as well. The big three just weren't good. I mean, Wade just seemed like he's not existent. Chris Bosh didn't really make an impact at all. Well, yeah, as I told you guys before, it's Thursdays, last few Thursdays have definitely been tough for the Zen Man. I'm a huge diehard sports fan down here in South Florida, Miami. And, you know, I can have a show, but it's tough to have a show during a finals game or important playoff games. Last Thursday night, as you all know, was game six, I believe. Yeah, game six in Boston. No, I was definitely nervous. He ended up going bananas, LeBron James, 45 points. And once it started, I believe we had a blowout. And we were well on our way to a victory. To record everything in the morning. But it is 11 o'clock in the morning right now for me. And all because, I'm going to be watching the game. I want to give you guys my full attention when I'm having the show. And you can't really put NBA Finals game for the Heat playing while I'm trying to have a show. It's going to be totally distracting to me. Just to be totally honest with you guys. But I am currently at the AAA watching game two right now. So, the games are pretty late. I mean, honestly, if it was a 7 o'clock game, I mean, it'd be over by 10 o'clock, 10:30. I mean, I'd have my show, no problem. But these games are starting at 9, so, they're over at midnight, so it'd be impossible. But I will be at the road rally at AAA, doing my best. And, we'll see what happens. My theory on what the Heat have to do here is they just have to play better defense. I mean, I know that the Thunder are here for a reason, but that doesn't mean the Heat don't have the best defense they've seen so far. And this is the Sedmo Sports Rap Stat of the Week, brought to you by the Zen Man. And my stat of the week is the Thunder are the first team to be in the finals from the Western Conference that isn't named the Mavericks, the Spurs, or the Lakers. That's right. The last 14 years have been dominated by three teams in that Western Conference. All doing surprisingly well, especially the Lakers and the Spurs. Mavericks obviously winning the last title in 2011. So there could be a new era. Those three teams, obviously, that I mentioned, getting old. But one almost making it to the finals. The Spurs tried to keep that streak alive, but it's a little short. After losing the last four games to the Thunder, to lose that series of six. But just back to what I was saying, the two main problems I saw in game one were, one, not getting to the hole. We're shooting way too many jump shots. That's not our game. Our game is to have a few three-point shooters, hit a few jumpers if they're open, but just start everything off by driving to the hole. We're the best team at that. We have two of the best players ever at that with LeBron and Wade. Driving to the hole, possibly getting a foul. It's easy buckets. And I don't know how they're going to stop that. The fact that Ibaka had zero blocks probably says more about the Heat not getting into the paint much because, you know, I don't think Ibaka's met a team yet in the NBA that he hasn't been able to block. But if there's nobody there to block, he probably isn't going to have any, which is the case in game one. And the other problem I saw was just Durant and Westbrook were just getting everything they wanted. And I don't think that has to be the case. That has to stop or we're not going to win this series. They're too good. My theory, one, get somebody on Durant the entire time. That's the only way that it's going to happen. Just get a guy, and I guess you could use the term shadow, but whatever you call it, just do not let him have open shots. He's still human. You know, he takes what the game gives him, but we're giving him too many opportunities. And when you start doing that, I mean, you got to look at all over the place. He can score from any area. Have one guy to know where he is at all time. He gets a lot of three-pointers from fast breaks, from just trailing the floor. You know, if you leave him for 1 second, that's too much. You know, you need to be on him the whole time. Don't worry about what defense you guys are playing. Don't worry about another guy being open. You know what, he can be open. Don't let Durant be open. He's a guy that can hurt you. And Westbrook, oh, it's the same thing. But luckily, Westbrook isn't the good shooter. But when he just keep him out of the paint, and I think he'll be fine. The more shots you get on defense, the more opportunities you can have on drop. And I just don't see much strength. In OKC, a few guys. I mean, their main guys are most prominent, I guess. They're big. I'll go from there. And spread the floor out. I like what they did, moving them to the top of the key, because Josh is probably, and if they're playing man, then that means you guys have to come out in dark and just kind of open up the window a little more fleet for fast breaks. Just try. Crazy shot at fourth game. If they do that, it's just going to make it easier when they're trying to shoot because they're going to have to get play a little farther back, give them more space to shoot. And hopefully, Spoelstra talked about it. The problem there, well, they just need to talk about it. And I just, the one thing you see in a finals game is just it goes by so fast. You don't really have time to make huge adjustments. It just seems like it's going a million miles an hour. Same amount of time, obviously, but I know that it just seems like it goes by in 10 minutes. So he just need to come out and play four quarters, not three. Well, not two, really. And they got to steal one. It's still a 2-3-2 matchup. You know, I anticipated he winning one of the first two. And either winning the next three at home or winning two of the next three at home, game six on the road. And I think everything less is just going to be terrible for them. So I think you're going to see a championship team rise for the Heat. We'll see what happens with that. Game two will be tonight at 9 o'clock. I guess I have two things left in the show. I got my top three plays and my MLB update. Let's move on to my top three plays. Here's play number three.
Morant the rebound. Turnover stolen by James and throws it down. Durant already with one foul, looked like he was ready to stop the play and made the smart move not to pick up his second.
Absolutely. He's too valuable to take a foul in transition like that.
Ibaka gets inside, count it and one.
Yeah, LeBron with a nice steal, nice dunk, great play. Showed a lot of aggressiveness in the first half, but just wasn't getting anything going on in the second. Here is play number two.
It was on me when I didn't play Scott that much when he played for me with the Knicks.
Something he's still bitter about as Durant throws it down. Durant getting the crowd fired up, beating Joel Anthony off the dribble. For a guy who...
And here is play number one.
James appeared to look around, gazing at the upper deck, but now looking into Buster Posey. One ball and two strikes. On the ground, Arias from deep third, got him! And that's the perfect game. And the Giants mobbing Matt Cain on the pitcher's mound.
All right, we'll get into my MLB update here. Got interleague matchups going on this week. I already talked about Matt Cain and his perfect game. Congratulations to him. A lot of times you do see a surprise player, at least get a no-hitter, but no surprise with Matt Cain. He's a great pitcher, highest-paid pitcher in the league, actually, and that's a great reason why. It is moving on to the Friday, Saturday, Sunday schedules. And it will still be in the league matchup this weekend. Here are your matchups for the week ahead. It'll be Red Sox at Cubs, Rockies at Tigers, Yankees at Nationals, which I think it'll be a great series. Normally it won't be, because Nationals are one of the best teams in baseball right now. Such a fun series with Bryce Harper, Pirates at Indians, Phillies at Blue Jays, Reds at the Mets. Another Florida matchup here, Marlins at Rays, Orioles at Braves, the Astros at the Rangers,
Brewers at Twins, the Royals at the Cardinals, D-backs at Angels, Padres at Athletics, White Sox at Dodgers, and Giants at Mariners. So that's three. Got to be a matchup for the three. Only one now in the home run category. He has 22 homers. Adam Dunn, the old fella, just still hitting home runs. He is hot lately. He has 21. He's just on a, I'm sure he's going to pass Hamilton anytime now. Jose Bautista with 19. Also with 19, Carlos Beltran and Curtis Granderson, who has been out for the past 3-4 weeks. He is no longer the leader of solo bases. Campana is for the Cubs. But Bonifacio, only one back. He has 20, tied in second with Gordon from the Dodgers. Michael Bourne with 17. Shane Castro with 16. Also with Jose Reyes with 16 as well, with Mark Trout. Both three-way tie there for fifth. And Rays show some signs of looking like the old Rays with stolen bases. He actually had two home runs now, so he's looking good. And just check out your app, please. Melky Cabrera was 367 now. Now leading the majors. Congrats to him. Paul Konerka with 6. Joey Votto, 362. Carlos Ruiz, 361. And David Wright, 350. And let's see. Just checking out your standings real quick. Starting up the American League East and the Yankees. Spot. They've been very impressive, winning 6 straight, 9-1 their last 10. They're 37-25. They have a game up on Baltimore, 2 games up on Tampa Bay and Boston. Although just winning the series versus the Fish, still only 3-7 in the last 10. They're 6.5 games back. Also, Toronto is 6.5 games back as well. Both those teams now officially under 500. And the Central, the White Sox, 34-28. They have a game and a half lead on Cleveland. Detroit is 5 games back. Kansas City, 7. And the Twins are 8.5 games back. Moving into the West, Rangers still have a lead there, 37-26. But coming up right behind them is the Angels. They were 34-30. They're 3.5 games back. Oakland is 9 games back, and Seattle is 10.5. Going to the National League East, Washington just continues to play great baseball. They're 38-23. They now have a 5 game lead on Atlanta and the Mets. Miami's been slumping lately. They're 2-8 in the last 10 games. And just talking about the AL West, Dodgers still the best record in baseball at 40-24. But not a huge lead on the San Francisco Giants, who are creeping up at 3.5 back. But Arizona, 9 games back. Colorado, 14.5. And the San Diego Padres at 17.5 games back. So those are your division leaders. A couple things have changed. See how the American League East and the National League East turn out. That should be fun division to watch. I think the Nationals might be for real. It's crazy. But we'll see how that works. Still a lot of games left. And with that, that's pretty much it. I just want to say thank you for listening. As of right now, you're listening to the show, and maybe we'll see what the Heat do come next Thursday. I honestly think that the finals are more of a who wants it more type of a feel. And not only did it, you know, he wanted more, they've been wanting more for the last couple of years. I know the Thunder are definitely wanting. It's not like they're lacking, you know, desire for it. But I just think that this is their year to win it. Mavericks had it last year. They wanted it more, you can tell. But he definitely wanted this year. They have to win it. They don't want all this negative talk in the offseason, but they also want that ring that they've been, you know, working on for all year. And this is what they set out to do. So I don't know why. I think the Heat will win tonight and either win all three at home. I know it's a lot, you know, but, I just have a feel for it. I thought the Thunder would win four straight after being down 2-0 to the Spurs. And, you know, it happened. So I have the same kind of feel here. And I'm a Heat fan, but, you know, my predictions have been right so far. They're in the finals. So we'll see how the rest of the series pans out. We'll see where we are next Thursday night. Join me next Thursday night at 11 o'clock. We will have another edition of the Total Sports Wrap. More NBA Finals to talk about, more baseball to talk about. And we'll see what kind of crazy news happens next week. With that, I want to say thank you for listening. And I will see you guys next Thursday at 11. Only on Ship Shore Radio. Thanks, guys.
You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio. Radio.
Terrific defense by Wade and a nice rebound by Bosch. Here comes Dwayne for the bomb. Rock City East strikes again.
You can see it coming all the way. LeBron was up ahead of him in the right lane.
Take a look around, tears from their eyes, knees on the ground, money in the sky. Take a look around, ain't shit nice, praying for my life, hope I make it through the night. Take a look around.
And he drives it to center field, that ball's deep. Back goes Schaefer, at the wall.
Take a look around.
My goodness, an absolute bomb.
Take a look around.
Reggie Bush. With a big hole, hurtling it up, Bender, and there he goes! And the dagger for the Miami Dolphins!
This is the Southernmost Sports Wrap, only at Ship to Shore Radio.